WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Good evening. Welcome to Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi, and we have a great show lined up for you. A lot of great guests, as we try to do on this particular program. It's kind of a magazine-style setup where we start off with a lot of the local stuff, news, and as we slowly get through the hour and 45 minutes that we are allotted each week, sometimes we'll speak with authors, musicians, we'll speak with folks who are holding upcoming events just so they can promote it, and usually they are events that are taking place here on the South Shore locally or in the Boston area, just so we can give a little bit of attention. We will kick this week's show off with the State House Report. We like to feature a lot of our local elected officials, mainly on the state level, whether it's state representative, state senator. From time to time, we are fortunate enough to have the Attorney General, the Auditor, Lieutenant Governor, Governor, join us for conversation, mostly about something that is happening at that time that they could speak to, ongoing issue or topic. This week, we'll speak with State Representative Josh Cutler, find out what's happening in his district, some of the things happening up at the State House, get his perspective, and even some ideas as to what he's working on. So we'll look forward to that. Then we turn our attention to the city of Brockton. The past few weeks, we've tried to make sure we've had candidates who are running mostly for mayor or for city council. Those who are going to be on the ballot tomorrow night in the city of Brockton as they're holding their preliminary election from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. We'll speak with Ward 6 City Councilor Jack Lally. We'll speak with mayoral candidate Jimmy Pereira. And we'll speak with Ward 4 City Council candidate Derek Barrows. They'll be here in studio and we'll chat with them, get an idea as to why they're running and give them an opportunity, like we've given everybody an opportunity to be on this particular program. And again, mainly folks who are running for the legislative and executive branch of the city of Brockton's government. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, we'll try to see if we can get school committee candidates on as well. We'll see what happens. There's so many people running for office. You try to get as many in as possible. Then in the second hour of the show, we start things off with folks from Hyundai Hope on Wheels Foundation, as we'll speak with Executive Director Mr. Zafar Brooks. We'll speak with some of the folks down at PAC TV. We are going to speak with Dr. Gary Maestas. He is the Superintendent of Schools for Plymouth, and also the Outreach Coordinator for PAC TV, Donna Rodriguez, will be joining us, talking a little bit about their upcoming telethon that they're going to be doing to help those who were affected by those big hurricanes that hit Texas and Florida over the past couple of weeks. And finally, to wrap up tonight's program, we will speak with George Kippenhan and Julie Hoffman Hogan about their upcoming event at the Buckley Performing Arts Center, Brockton campus of Massasoit Community College, Just Believe 4. So that's all coming up in just a few moments.
I love this time of year. Rustling leaves, a crisp wind blowing, apple picking for homemade apple pie, a sunny day in a corn maze, a bonfire on a cool night. Cigars, and a half gallon of hot apple cider. Apple pie. We made it ourselves. This has nothing to do with Brennan's Smoke Shop, but everything to do with life. It's short, yet so sweet. Kind of like pumpkin spice coffee. It comes and goes like autumn wind. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now on Pope's Island in New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the very best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must have a valid state or federal ID to enter the store. Message me on Facebook.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk.
Thank you for staying with us here on Monday Night Talk. And joining us, as he does on a regular basis, it is his turn in the rotation of the many senators and representatives and other constitutional officers, whether it's auditor or it's been a while for the AG and the governor and the LT, but their time will come.
This is a long intro, Kevin.
It is a long intro, but that's okay. You like to interrupt me when I'm doing the long intros, don't you? We have that voice is State Representative Josh Culler, representing the 6th Plymouth District.
Thank you, sir.
Pembroke.
Good to be here.
Pembroke, Duxbury, Hanson.
You got it.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Thought we would take an opportunity. I saw you had posted something. I know that not too long ago, Plymouth was having a conversation in regards to having like a dual, they were going to utilize a commuter rail stop and have a special project where it's going to have like a duality. Not only will it be kind of a shelter for vehicles, but it'll also have an alternative energy feel to it. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I was excited. You know, there's a train station in my district in Hanson, a commuter rail station. And so that is one of the 37 locations that the MBTA has selected for a cool solar canopy project. And so what they're going to do, Kevin, is they're going to install, you know, canopies, you know, so sort of mini roofs over the parking spaces, and then put solar panels on top of those. And so that'll have a number of benefits. Number one, it's going to provide, you know, renewable energy, reduce our carbon footprint and all the good things that go along with that. It's going to save the MBTA money, which we know that they need to pay for transportation costs. But it's also going to provide some nice benefits to commuters. For instance, they're going to have now a sheltered parking space. So no more walking out of the car, in the snow and rain. Be a nice little sheltered space. They'll actually have LED lighting so that your space will be better illuminated. It's gonna add some nice benefits and features to the parking spots themselves on top of the benefits that it'll provide to the MBTA and to our environment.
Now, has the MBTA put out literature or information in regards to how much the general scope of the project, not just Hanson, but for all 37, or have they kind of narrowed it down to what the project for the Hanson commuter rail station?
Great question, Kevin. So they've just announced all this, and we were at the State House just recently for the announcement. As I mentioned, Hanson, because it's in my district, is one of the sites that was chosen. But a lot of stations around the South Shore will be part of the program, including Kingston, Halifax, Weymouth, South Weymouth, and in fact, Hull and Nantasket Junction will be one of the first projects that will be done actually this year. Most of them will be done in 2018, but that one will be done in 2017.
So you're saying Hanson will be done this year?
Hanson will be one of the ones done in 2018. In Hull, it will happen to be one of the first ones down here in the South Shore.
What happens now that this has been proposed? Does this go through any kind of a local
That's already happened. So all that good hard work has gone on already. This is a public bid process. They went through all the various steps. And so now they're at the implementation phase and sort of public awareness phase. I'm letting people know about this, that it's coming. One of the good news is that, you know, there's going to be a short window for each of these sites where they're going to have some construction going on. So it'll be a little bit of a disruption. But they've planned it so that, A, it won't reduce any of the parking spaces. And B, they're going to kind of do it in shifts so that it won't cause any major disruption in any of the stations for any, you know, any extended period of time. Each construction development is about an 8-week time frame.
What is the footprint for Hanson's commuter rail station? Do you have an idea as to,
I don't know the exact footprint, but I can tell you that the Hanson station will generate approximately 1.2 megawatts of renewable energy. So that's a significant amount of renewable energy for just Hanson.
How many parking spaces will this cover?
It'll cover them all. It'll cover them all, yeah. I don't know exactly how many spaces are in Hanson. Each MBTA station has a different number of spaces. Some are bigger. The Hanson station's fairly good size, but it'll cover the whole thing.
I wish we knew in advance of this, because then we could have sent one of your aides down there to count every... Charlie, it's your job today to go count parking spaces. What?
Well, you know, it's when I do my... Sometimes when I'm during the campaign mode, I'll go down there early in the mornings and hand out coffee to folks. So it'll be nice now to be able to do that next time and have, little canopies.
Yeah, if it's inclement weather, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a nice, anytime you can, you know, save some money, protect our environment, and help commuters at the same time, I think it's a win-win-win. So.
And knowing that when this governor came in, one of the things that he went to tackle was the sizable deficit, the debt that the MBTA has, what is your understanding as to where it stands right now, and how is a project like this geared towards helping to... trim some of that sizable debt?
Sure. Well, so, you know, this is certainly a step in the right direction. It's obviously a small portion of, the larger MBTA budget, which is in the billions of dollars. But these are the kinds of projects that we need to pursue to find, creative ways to reduce our debt and to increase revenues without affecting commuters. And in this case, it happens to do so in a positive way. So it's bringing benefits. So
I know this is something that you shared with the folks on social media. What have you heard from folks? Have you heard any feedback in regards to this news about the commuter rail station?
Yeah, Kevin, as far as I post things regularly on Facebook, and I was surprised at the response, the overwhelmingly positive response and interest level just in the project. I figured, let folks know what's going on, and people were really excited about it. So I think that's kind of neat. People are really focused on the renewable energy and how we can do creative things, and this is an example of that.
Anything that we've overlooked? Any information in regards to
Kevin,
this
news? You nailed it. You pretty much, you're the ace interviewer here, and I don't think that I can add anything more than what you already asked me.
I think you're just giving me the business here. While we have you for a couple of more moments here, again, we're speaking with State Representative Josh Cutler, who was kind enough to stop by and chat with us. Anything else new going on in the district, or anything that you're working on at this particular time?
Oh, lots of things going on. The fall time period gets busy, starting back up with lots more formal sessions, but a lot more going on in the district. We're back to teaching our lifelong learning course over at the Duxbury Senior Center, and encourage folks to sign up for that if they're interested. Lots of events coming up, so if folks are interested or have questions, feel free to check out my website, which is just www.joshcutler.com.
How's that new office of yours doing? I know that I had a chance to visit it not too long ago.
I enjoyed having my cable access show on with you, Kevin. I look forward to another repeat episode.
Anything in closing, if folks want to know about your hours, they want to know about when you're in the area to speak with
Yeah, actually, one thing I would like to mention, we just recently expanded our office hours, so now I'm doing them twice a month at each of my towns. So I believe it's the second and fourth Fridays in Duxbury and the first and third Fridays in Hanson and Pembroke, and then I have an evening office hours once a month in Pembroke as well. Again, the schedule for all that is on my website.
There he is, State Representative Josh Cutler, who is our guest for this little small segment. We thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. We're going to step aside just for a moment, but when we return, we are going to be speaking with the candidates seeking your vote tomorrow in the city of Brockton's preliminary election. Joining us next will be Ward 6 City Councilor Jack Lally, mayoral candidate Jimmy Pereira, and Ward 4 City Council candidate Derek Barros. They're all going to be in studio And we'll get their take on the issues and, you know, their hopes as to being successful in tomorrow's preliminary election. That's all coming up in a few moments here on Monday Night Talk, heard on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
It's Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Hey, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And as you folks who are in the Brockton area, you are well aware that it is election season. The signs, people knocking on your door, hey, I'm running for office. Well, we've been giving you an opportunity to be able to hear from the candidates. And I've taken a different approach. Instead of having all the people who are, I mean, it's kind of fun to hear people who, when there's a contentious conversation and, you know, the awkward pauses and where do you stand on paving streets, you know, stuff like that. But I wanted to take a different approach, and I wanted to have a little bit more of an easier climate for folks to come in, talk about their campaigns. We did invite a number of people who were unable to attend, or I didn't respond to requests. I'll throw names out there. Bradley Suffrant, who's running for mayor, unable to attend. Tina Cardosa, unable to attend. Gary Keith, unable to attend. Marlon Green, unable. Again, and not because they didn't want to. Jeff, you have to understand, it's campaign season, and it's when you're getting down to the wire, like tomorrow, the preliminary, you're trying to knock on as many doors, go to as many events, and just it was one of those things that didn't fit into their calendar. Now, if these individuals happen to make it past tomorrow night at Tuesday. 8 p.m., right?
Yep.
Okay.
Tuesday 19th,
yep. Yeah. Then we'll worry about that. But we have individuals who are here. They're going to talk to you for the next 27 minutes about the importance of getting out tomorrow, starting at 7 a.m., 28 precincts. This isn't going to be, you know, there are going to be four races that are on the ballot, and it's going to be important for you to get out there. Starting from right to left, my right, not necessarily the radio dial, we have Mr. Derek Barros. He is running for Ward 4 City Council. Next to him is Mr. James Pereira. He is running for mayor. And then next to him, we have an incumbent. We have Mr. Jack Lally. Gentlemen, welcome to Monday Night Talk. If it's your first time, welcome back if you are a repeat offender. We'll go with Jimmy first. Jimmy running for mayor. For folks who are just tuning in and who are still on the fence in regards to how they're voting tomorrow, tell them what it's been like getting out there and campaigning and why you're running for office.
Yes,
why?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, first and foremost. To the ladies and gentlemen out here in Brockton, Massachusetts, thank you for accepting me as a candidate for mayor, because I've been knocking on doors and the reception is great. This is my first time running for office, and it is a great learning experience. I know that I've learned the importance of knocking on doors, so we're looking at making sure that we do that now till tomorrow. Even during the day tomorrow, we'll be doing that as well too, because you know, it's important to get out there and meet face to face. The reason why I'm running for mayor is because several reasons, really. I was born and raised in the city, so there's a lot of pride and joy of being here and making sure that this city stands tall and make sure that there's a great representation of the city as well. And to be honest, I haven't really seen too much of that as far as everything that we've seen in the headlines and just a lack of engagement in the city as well. As a public servant and a regional planner, I know the importance of getting out there and reaching out to people and making sure that they're informed of what is going on. And there is a big lack of communication when we talk about things that are going on in the community, whether it be manhole explosions or demolition demolition of buildings or even the acquisition of a desalinization plant. Our citizens deserve more, and that's what it is about being in the government, is about public services, making sure that you have information there for the people.
We'll go with Mr. Lally. Mr. Lally, you're about to close out your first term, first legislative session on the Brockton City Council, serving as the Ward 6 councilor. Talk to us about seeking re-election, and what's it like being out there this time around knocking on doors as an incumbent, as compared to being, you know, a bright-eyed, bushy-eyed guy out there knocking on doors for the very first time. You were Jimmy 2 years ago.
Well, there you go.
I think you were Derek 2 years ago, too.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. I enjoy it. I enjoy campaigning. I enjoyed it last time. I enjoy it this time. You know, a lot of positive reception. I really like, you know, the second time around, a lot more people know you. You've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people, you know, in the area you represent. So people will answer the door and they'll go, hey, you know, you helped me with this issue or that issue. I gave you a call and you called me right back. Things like that. And that that's something that people really appreciate. So it's, you know, I've received a lot of support, you know, a lot of people, you know, happy at the door, things like that. You know, I've really enjoyed, you know, working as a counselor. I've enjoyed my first term, and I'm looking forward to, you know, doing it again.
And then we have Derek Barros running for Ward 4, and what's interesting about that is there's no incumbent in your race. You are one of four people, and the one thing with you, Derek, is you don't necessarily have name recognition like the two other individuals, one who attempted to run for office 2 years ago, one who actually is sitting on a school committee, a regional school committee. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
About me, thank you, Kev, for having us. I feel like that's one of the things that's been in my favor. A lot of people have seen, greeted me with open arms, seeing me as a candidate who's basically not looking for, you know, any self-claim or anything like that. People see that, take it as, you know, I'm a young guy, invest in the community, and here to really make a change. And that's really my, you know, the foundation of my campaign is that I'm a person from Brockton. I grew up in Brockton my whole life, went to Brockton schools, went to Spelman, and now I'm back. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of people forget that young people can go anywhere in the country, can go anywhere to work. We have, you know, some of my people up here with me have degrees, Jackson to have a degree. We can move anywhere to do anything we want, but we chose to come back to where we were born and raised to really make a difference, and to really get people more involved, get people have more transparency, and just uplift people to get into the political process. Where a lot of people, like we talked on last week, a lot of people have felt they've been in the shadows. They've been, you know, people who've been forgotten. And at the end of this, win, lose, or shine, it's been a fun experience. I've met a lot of great people, a lot of funny people, a lot of people who invite me for coffee. I don't have drink coffee, to give me water. I've met a lot of people screaming at me, you know, about not angry but just passionate. So I've met a lot of great people along the way. It doesn't stop here. A lot of people say, hey, what if this, what if that? At the end of the day, no matter what, I'm going to continue to do work with the community, be a community activist to make Brockton better. And when I get in on Wednesday, we're going to make Brockton better together.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. While I mentioned earlier that both Jimmy and Derek are running different, their candidates, and Jack is an incumbent, the one thing that they all have in common is that they're all young blood. They're young blood.
Yes.
I'm going to go right down the line. Derek, how old are you?
24.
Jimmy?
25, and I'll be 26 September 21st.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow, that's weird. So this, you and I share a birthday this week.
Do we?
Wow.
Very cool.
Wow, there you go. Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm going to vote for you, Jimmy.
Oh, man.
I don't vote at practice.
Yeah, all right. No, so we'll take that. How old are you?
He'll look the other way. I'm 20.
So we have young people. And here's the thing that's very, very interesting. And I'm going to say this because I, from time to time, I have conversations with people around the city of Brockton. That's my job, is to talk to folks in the community. And there's been a straightforward. When Jack was running, people were like, he's a young guy. He doesn't have a chance. Jack, how did you do?
I did all right.
Yeah, you did all right. You got you were elected. And I've heard the same thing about Jimmy. He's a young guy. Hey, I'm going to remind the folks out there, and I might have said this when Jimmy and I have talked previously, and that is, it's not impossible for somebody who is young. And I'll give you a perfect example. Just south of Brockton, down in Fall River, you had somebody who was, I don't want to call him a career politician, but he was previously the Bristol County District Attorney, ran for mayor, that's Sam Sutter, and he was defeated by a guy who was under the age of 30. It's not impossible. And I believe that the Commonwealth has two people who are under the age of 30 who were successful in attaining an election, winning the election in an urban center like a Brockton, I'm not sure
Holy
the other one.
Alex
Holy
Moore. Yes. Yes. If Alex if Moore. I might,
if you may,
if I might, yes. You know, the way I see it is, when you're 18, you can, you know, you can join the army. Yeah. You can
be trusted.
Can't
smoke anymore, according to board.
Yeah,
the board of health.
You can't smoke, but
some communities.
But it's you know, you're allowed to, you know, put your life on the line to protect the freedoms of others. You're entrusted with millions of dollars worth of material and machinery and things like that. You know, the least you can do is trust somebody in their 20s to turn a streetlight back on.
Right. Yeah. I'm gonna go down the line and ask you guys, what do you feel are the general issues in your races? And it's going to be different for everybody, because Jimmy has to have his ear to the ground for 95,000 plus in the community. Now, not all 95,000 of those people vote, but he has, of course, we have cognizant of the 44,000 plus who are registered to vote in the city, who potentially some of them are going to come out tomorrow, and then you're going to probably see a bigger influx come November. Yeah. Right. So we'll start with Jimmy. Jimmy, what do you feel are the what are some of the big issues? And your piece of the pie is a lot bigger than Derek's and Jack's.
Yes. So for me, it's definitely a lot bigger, and it's not just one issue. It's a conglomerate of issues. We would look at opportunity for youth as well, and looking at having them do constructive things, not cleaning the side of the road. I mean, actually sitting down with CEOs and shadowing executive administrators and learning what it means to have a career, not a job. Also looking at issues such as the desalinization plant, overspending of it, and not really knowing where the future of Brockton lies when we talk about taxes and even development as well. Looking at also transportation and infrastructure. That's a huge issue when we look at the pipes, we look at the way that our streets are being paved, the lack of lighting, pedestrian and bicyclist fatalities as well. That's, and for me, being a regional planner and being in an interdisciplinary field, a lot of things are interconnected. There's a lot of relations between each other. So if you have the lack of economic opportunity in downtown Brockton, and you have a surplus of homelessness and vagrancy going on, and people sleep in front of businesses and things of the sort. Crime also goes up as well, because people have that feeling that, you know, what is there to lose out here? What are you going to gain? And when you look at the youth as well, and looking at not just the violence, but the drugs, fentanyl, heroin coming in as well. And it's like comparison. Do you want to sell drugs and you know, the image that they get is make all this money, or do you want to get involved and maybe have a 9-to-5 and things of the sort? What I want to do is make sure that I relate to the youth and show them that, hey, there is a way. I was someone that was in the same shoes as you were, and now look at me. I'm actually running for mayor. I am a public servant. I'm doing great things because I had the ambition and the drive to do it, but also seeing that lifestyle that we live in is not going to lead us down the right path. So that's what we don't have now, is that communication, that engagement with people. And it's very vital that we have an ambassador, a CEO, a spokesperson that is able to connect with the population, with the community in Brockton.
Derek, your turn.
Yes, and War, four of the big hot topics now are the power plant issue. That's actually been the number one question I've gotten since I've been on the trail, is, you know, how would you vote and how do you feel on it? From my experience and my search, is that it's been Ward 4 has been the dumping grounds of Brockton for a long time. And it can't be that anymore. And the power plant, with the statistics that we have, we don't know the outcomes that it could bring. And I don't want that to fall on the taxpayers. Another thing is economic development in the Campello area. From all of Brockton, it's one of the, you know, more crumbling sites. So bringing new business, you know, and getting some more of the industrial business out of that area of Ward 4.
Even though it's zoned for it?
Yes.
Even though it's zoned for it? Okay.
In cleaning up the Campello station and things like that. And a lot of other things On top of that, it's bringing back business to the Kmart Plaza. That has been, I would say, besides power plant, would be the number two question that I've gotten.
What can be done with that area?
Yes, what can be done with that area?
Because it's been different since Shaw's left. I mean,
yes.
I think Shaw's was kind of the anchor
in
that
area.
Yep.
And now you have Kmart, Kmart nationally has been slowly decreasing.
Yeah, who knows how much longer it's going
to I feel like they're as well holding on by a thread. So we have to get more. We have to get. I've spoken to Rob May, like I did in the forum, of trying to bring more industrial, well-known businesses to that area, you know, more on the outskirts, to bring, you know, customers who are, one, not coming for, you know, convenience or seeing, you know, I'm driving by, oh, there's a business. It's more well-established. I'm going to this industry because I know they do good work. They're well-established in the community, and I just need the services. So that's about it in a nutshell. We can go on all day, but I'm gonna let Jack get some.
Yeah, remember that? Yeah. I want to give Jack a chance because Jack, it's kind of a little different question for Jack because, again, he is a guy who, you know, has been a learning process, but he also has been learning on the fly while getting acclimated to the needs of his part of the city. What do you feel are some of the things that you've been able to tackle during your first term, and what do you feel are going to be the issues come you know, the next 2 years?
Well, things that I've tried to focus on, and, you know, I'm continuing to focus on, would without a doubt be infrastructure. You know, our infrastructure is in terrible shape. It's ridiculous. I represent a little over 200 roads. I'd say about 3/4 of them need to be repaved, and councilors usually only get one road paved a year. Last year, I got two roads done. I'm on pace to do it again. Happy to say, but still, something's got to give.
I can interrupt you for half a second, I don't know if it was you and I who had a question, had a conversation, or if it was one of your colleagues. But at the rate, if you did one road in your your part of the city, one road a year, how long would it take before you got all the roads done?
200 years. Everything. I'd be dead, and all the roads would be dirt.
That I had a conversation with.
I believe so. Yeah, it's a mess. Something's got to give. A lot of these roads are private ways. They're not even eligible to be paved, despite everyone paying the same taxes. So I've been working on making these public ways. Two other things we've been focusing on that, you know, Ward 6...
The city annexes them and it makes them part of...
It's declared eminent domain. The more miles of public way you have in a city, the more Chapter 90 funds you get, which means the more money we get from the federal government to pave roads. In addition to that, two other things that Ward 6 really prioritizes: public safety. You know, we got to make sure the police, even there's not that much crime, or not as much, knock on wood, but we still need a presence. We still need that deterrent. We still need, you know, they need to feel safe as well. And we also have to really get a hold of fiscal responsibility. You know, Ward 6 is not, you know, somewhere that can just spend it because they want to. You know, these are working people who, you know, who watch their budget. You know, they watch their taxes, they watch what they can afford, and, you know, they really place a priority on, you know, making sure that doesn't go to waste.
Yeah, we're speaking with some individuals who are seeking your vote. Come tomorrow's preliminary in the city of Brockton. It happens every 2 years. Of course, the voice you just heard a moment ago, Ward 6 City Councilor Jack Lally. And sitting next to him is Mr. Jimmy Pereira, who's running for mayor, and we have Derek Barros, who is running for the vacated Ward 4 City Council seat. Now, some of you individuals have had a chance to at least debate the individuals that you are going to be, you know, on the ballot with. Some individuals in this room haven't necessarily been so fortunate.
Right.
I'll start with the unfortunate individual. That's you. You haven't had an opportunity to debate, whether it's with... Have you had a chance to, at least with the other candidates? Or
none
or
whatsoever.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
How does that benefit you? How does that hurt you? And how have you tried to at least supplement the opportunity to be able to have face-to-face with the other people who are going to be considered tomorrow?
Right. Well, I've been vocal early on. I've talked about the mayor's lack of engagement with the community, and also lack of order and organization when we talk about the permitting process with the block party as well, and how people could be educated better on that. I've met with other people, of course, other constituents, other candidates as well, city council members as well. Talk to them, make sure that we're on the same page as far as telling them my plans and what I have for Brockton. But other than that, being vocal, I think that's great. But I always welcome a debate, the chance for the people to hear our plans and know that what's going on and see if we could question each other's actions and how we can do better as well. But for me, I think it's unfair for a lot of the, even the other candidates as well too. Mm. So we will see Tuesday. I know he won't be able to run away from a debate come Tuesday. So whoever is winner, I know I'm ready for it. Gloves are on, and we'll see.
Well, it's a well-known strategy,
right?
For some incumbents, why give exposure? I know higher up. I've had times where I've organized stuff with folks who are in Congress, folks who are running for state senate, mm-hmm. and where it doesn't benefit them if they feel as though they're going into an area where it's not really going to make an impact or help them, mm-hmm. then why do it? And,
right.
and again, it's so I can see why there would be a lack of to voluntarily right. sit down and hurt my chances come mm-hmm. Tuesday when I'd rather wait and see who ends up coming out board. At the end,
right,
and
right.
then focusing on the one individual instead
right.
of trying to focus
a
on
strategy.
Instead of focusing on four or five people right. who are going to be attacking you because exactly. guess what?
Yes, you're the man in the seat.
You're the game bird.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Yep.
So now, how was it for you? I mean, it was your first time had a chance to do a debate.
Yes.
Have you done one or a couple?
We've done one.
Okay. What was it like?
It was a great experience, to be honest. I was, I felt I was very prepared. I felt like after I'm very critical of myself and my team. So
we all are.
Yeah. So, I kind of beat myself up. I should have answered here a little bit more. I've always stick by how you said short and concise. But I felt like I was a little too concise. I felt like I could have gave the voters a little bit more about myself, a little bit more about my answers. But it was a learning stone. It was a stepping stone. It was great. I felt like the atmosphere was very well. At times some of the debate got a little combative, a little bit out of order, but I tried my best to stay.
Welcome to the political theater.
Yeah, I tried.
You have to expect that.
Yes, so I tried to keep myself just cool, calm, and collective, and be me and be honest, and just stick to my values, and no matter if I didn't know a question, I had to answer it truthfully, and I didn't want to, make an answer that I didn't know, or if I knew, sometimes the best decision is not the most popular decision, and I just stick to my morals and just answer the questions, based on myself.
Okay. Jack, you had an opportunity to also take part in a political debate.
Oh, and a forum. There were two.
Wow, you had two.
Lucky guy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Could give one to Jimmy.
Living large. High in the hog here. What was that like? I mean, because it was different for you this time around compared to 2 years ago when you were kind of,
it was us.
Yeah, you were living where Derek was, where it was. It was an open seat, and it was an opportunity. How did it differ where you went from being, you're one of the hunters to where you're kind of being the incumbent? It's that lay of the land where you're the hunted. You're the person who now has a record that people can sit and say, hey, you know what? You should have done this. You should have done that. Or you at least had an opportunity this time to be a little bit more collected. You have a better idea, a better understanding as to what's going on with city government. Kind of give us your thought process on both.
Well, I get what you mean by, the incumbents are kind of the hunted. But in my case, I don't really feel hunted. I don't really feel like, I answer.
It's a term of endearment, though.
I answer people. Oh, yeah, I know.
Endearment.
I know what you mean, but I answer the phone. I call people back. If I miss your call, I'm back to you within 24 hours. I've been accessible, and I've done my job. I've done what I set out to do. I've found things that need to be fixed and, set about or at least started the process of fixing them. I'm proud of the work we've done. I feel like we've made a lot of good progress for a year and a half. And I look forward to continuing it. So, if people want to, hunt me down, That's well and good. But one thing I noticed when we had these debates and forums, there was really nothing to come down on me for. You know, I don't want to say it was a perfect run or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound cocky or arrogant or anything, but
feel that they went well, and it was about the city issues.
I'm proud of the progress we've made, and I really don't think there's much that's gone wrong. There wasn't much that they could really throw at me, so okay. I'll take it.
We just got a couple of moments left here, and again, we got a couple of candidates who are on the ballot tomorrow in the city of Brockton. 28 precincts, of course. Polls open 7 a.m. and will remain open until 8 p.m. tomorrow night when those ballots will be counted down at City Hall. And like I said, we got Derek Barrows running for Ward 4. We have Jimmy Pereira running for mayor, and we have Jack Lally seeking re-election in Ward 6. Gentlemen, again, we got a couple of moments left here. Mm-hmm. Anything we didn't touch upon, but you feel is kind of important to take a couple of moments for you to emphasize, whether it's, you know, a couple of key issues in regards to the city and that you're passionate about, or, you know, what your vision is come Wednesday morning? You can feel free to do that. We'll start with... Jimmy.
Sir, thank you. Appreciate it. For certain. And what I want to talk about is the people of Brockton. Whether you're a senior citizen, a business owner, a middle-aged young woman, a young child that's looking for a future opportunity for the future, please be vocal Tuesday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. We want to make sure that we are out there, that we're doing what we can to change our city. If you feel like that Jimmy Pereira can bring change to the city, I hope to have your support. Please check out the website, www.jimmyforbrockton.com, so you can make a sound decision. I am a community transportation planner, a regional planner. That means I'm a public servant. I've been doing this since 2013. I actually went to school because I knew that I wanted to educate myself so I could come back and work for my city, and I've been doing that. And I had the work experience as well, but I want to make sure that you know that my heart is in the game. Thank you for your support.
You got it. Mr. Lally, anything you want to... Same thing for you. And again, remember, tomorrow, big day, so lay it on the line here.
I'll be quick as I can.
You have 40 seconds.
I want to thank everyone who voted for me the first time, you know, the support they showed me. I feel like we've made progress. I feel like, things have been going all right. I ask for their support again. I ask for their vote. I want to thank you for having us on. If anyone has any questions or concerns, anything they want to see fixed, my number is 508-410-0330, or you could send me a message on Facebook. Thank you.
It's that easy. Mr. Barrows, it is your turn, sir.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
You got it, sir.
First and foremost, this has been a great experience. Meeting people has been awesome. Knocking on doors has been awesome. Sign holding has been awesome. I plead to the people of Ward 4 and people all across the city, like Jimmy said, get out and vote. Fulfill your civic duty. people have died for, you know, our right to vote, and I feel it's our duty, you know, to take action. And if you don't see something going the right way, vote in the way that you would want it. for all my supporters and all my team, thank you. It's just been a ride. And come Wednesday morning, no matter the decision, I know all of the people up here with me now will forever be a community activist no matter the decision, you know, because it's not about where we are now, it's about where we're going. And we all want to take our own part in steering Brockton in the right direction.
Certainly. Website or Facebook,
yes,
or something?
To
give that out real quick.
Our email is electderekbarrows@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at vote4. Derek Barrows
number
on
four.
Facebook, number four. Or you can reach me on my cell at 508-965-9403. And come September 19th, vote for Derek Barrows. Let's make Brockton better together.
And regardless of what happens, gentlemen, win, lose, or draw, right, you are all not so much community activists, but you are all community leaders.
Yes.
Whether
yes.
it's by an elected title or just right. as individuals leading for the future. That's what matters. And I thank you all for coming in this evening and being a part of the program.
Thank you for having us.
You got it. Best of luck tomorrow. We are going to step aside here from this first hour of Monday Night Talk. When we come back, the charitable side of Monday Night Talk. We got a bunch of things that we're going to talk about come after the top of the hour here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Be a part of the show. Call and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to the second hour of Monday Night Talk. And we got a special guest joining us for the first part of this segment anyways. Joining us right now, Executive Director for Hyundai Hope on Wheels. We have Zafar Brooks. And he's going to chat with us in regards to talking a little bit about what's going on with this special organization. Whether you know it or not, it is National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. That's what September is. And we have Mr. Brooks joining us to talk to us about an event that actually started a couple of weeks ago, Hope on Wheels. And it's a cross-country tour. If you could, Mr. Brooks, kind of give us the details as to how this tour, the genesis of the tour itself.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, and thanks for allowing us to come on your show and talk to your listeners. Our program actually started a couple of weeks ago. We started in 1998, 19 years ago, and interestingly, we started right there in the Boston, Massachusetts area, partnering with the Dana-Farber Cancer Center in an effort to help kids fight cancer. What many of your listeners may not be aware of is that pediatric cancer affects kids every day in this country. About 44 kids are diagnosed with the disease. Mm. It's about every half hour there's a new child diagnosed with pediatric cancer. And the good news is through research since the 1960s, today we now can cure 80% of those children who are diagnosed. That's certainly a good statistic. But on the other side, obviously, if you're that one in five parents of a child that doesn't survive, it's 100% mortality rate. And so what we've been doing is working since 1998 on trying to help ensure that we end childhood cancer so no child has to ever lose his or her fight again. Again, very proudly, the program started right there in the Boston, Massachusetts area. We are now a 501c3 not-for-profit organization. We were begun by Hyundai and its U.S. dealers, and we've donated just over $130 million to pediatric cancer research in that time.
Tell me a little bit about the campaign, Every Handprint Tells a Story. Tell us a little bit about that campaign.
Right. So when we think about a child with cancer and each child's individual story, we want to make sure people understand how this affects children. And so in our own logo, there are three handprints. And we say those handprints represent those children who have won their battles, those kids who continue to fight. And it also represents the memory of those kids who lost their fight. And so we say every handprint tells a story. Each handprint is unique. Each handprint is different. It represents the dreams, the hopes, the journey of every child. And so during the month of September, National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, we are going to be telling these wonderful stories of these wonderful children. Your listeners can go to our website, HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org. We have a very special experience for September. There's a sort of the gold ribbon represents pediatric cancer. And so you go into sort of the goals section and you click in it, and then you'll learn what the significance of the month is. You'll get to watch videos of various childhood cancer survivors. You'll get to meet the doctors who are researchers that we have funded in this particular area. And you'll get to add your own handprint to a virtual wall of hope. Wow. To show your support for pediatric cancer and for the families that are going through this journey.
Wow, that's fantastic. So my question to you is how are funds collected for the Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign, and how are those funds directed and used?
Sure. So Hyundai Hope on Wheels, as I said, is a 501c3 not-for-profit, but we are the sort of the not-for-profit arm of Hyundai Motor America, the U.S. car company. Mm-hmm. So Hyundai and its U.S. dealers principally fund Hyundai Hope on Wheels. I like to tell people we're not a fundraiser. We are a grant maker, so largely our efforts are driving awareness and funding research grants. We don't necessarily do hardcore fundraising. We do invite the public to join us. They can donate as an act if they wish, but it really is we're more of a grant maker than a fundraiser. Our program is funded very simply with the sale of every new Hyundai in the U.S. Our dealers donate to the fund. The monies are matched by Hyundai Motor America, and then we award those dollars to grants at children's hospitals across the country. We have a panel of medical advisors. We call them our scientific review committee, that they are the ones who review the grants. So they're peer-reviewed by pediatric oncologists at leading institutions across the nation. And those grants then are selected for funding based, of course, on our budget. This year, for example, we're going to fund 64 different grants for a total of $15 million. That will bring us just over $130 million since we began the program right there in Boston in 1998. That makes us one of the largest funders of pediatric cancer research in the U.S.
That is interesting. And I will say, and I'm not just saying this just to spice up the conversation. Myself, I am a Hyundai owner. I have bought a couple of Hyundais over the past 15 years myself. So I think, without knowing it until this interview, I think I've helped contribute to this fund.
You absolutely have. You and millions of Hyundai owners across the nation who have bought our vehicles. We often say in much of our materials, when you go to our website and read it online at Hyundai Hope on Wheels, we say Hyundai owners join us in the fight with the purchase of every new vehicle. They join us. As you well know, being an owner, we don't necessarily ask you to make a donation or anything like that.
Sure.
But your act of being involved with the brand has helped contribute to this effort. You know, our brand sort of slogan is better. Better is the engine that drives us. And we want to be better for people, better for society, better for the planet. And one way we try to go to market to make an impact on society is taking on this issue of pediatric cancer.
Mm.
Pediatric cancer is the leading disease-related cause of death for children in this country. The leading disease cause of death for children in this country. It's not something we necessarily like to think about as parents or others. We just don't like to think about the idea of kids dying. It's certainly unnatural. It's something that you certainly don't want to occur. Every child deserves to live out his or her life and pursue their potential and their dreams. But non-accident-related deaths, this is the number one related cause. And so as a result, it's an important issue that we believe the public should be aware of, and that families going through it need to know that the public is on their side. And that's why Hyundai and its U.S. dealers have taken on this fight and have been in it for now coming up on our 20th year.
And folks, just as I purchased a Hyundai just for the simple fact of it is a good car, it's a reliable car, and usually the dealerships stand by their vehicles whether you have a problem or not. And again, we're speaking with Zafar Brooks, Executive Director for Hyundai Hope on Wheels, as they are participating as part of the National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. They've been doing this for 19 years. I know I said earlier on that they've been doing it just starting a couple of weeks ago, but that's when this campaign initially kicked off. I want to kind of go back to talking about the monies that you know are given, the grants that are provided by the program. Talk to us about the different grants and how they are awarded.
Sure. So within our program, we have a medical advisory committee, again, of leading pediatric oncologists from around the country. There are 11 of them. They are sort of geographically dispersed. And so what we do every year is we invite any member of the Children's Oncology Groups of America, that's basically the COG, and those are primarily the children's hospitals in the U.S. that are doing cancer research in children, we invite them to submit a grant proposal. We have three categories. We have what's called the Impact Grant. That's a one-year grant for $50,000. We have what's called a Young Investigator Grant, and as the name suggests, it's for doctors who are in the early part of their career. It's a two-year award, $75,000 per year or $150,000. We then have what is called a Hyundai Hope Scholar Award, which is a two-year grant for $125,000 per year or $250,000. So those are our three primary grant categories, $50,000, $150,000, and $250,000. And then this year, we're very pleased to announce that we are bringing back a grant category that we introduced in 2015. In fact, Dana-Farber Boston Cancer Center was one of the grant winners, which was called the Hyundai Quantum Award. It's our largest award in the amount of $1 million per grant, and it's paid out over 4 years of $250,000. So we're introducing the Quantum again this year that we're taking applications currently for, and we're going through that process of selection. And then finally, we're extremely excited that we just added our largest grant category ever, and it will be our fourth category. It's called the Hyundai Quantum Collaboration Award. The Collaboration Award, as the name suggests, invites two or more hospitals to work together, and if they work together on a research project targeting high-risk pediatric cancers, and these are those bad guys, those cancers for which we have very poor outcome, or we don't really understand as much about the brain tumors, the osteosarcomas, the acute myeloid leukemias, the solid tissue tumors, those really bad guys that sadly are not as well understood and the treatment options aren't as good, we are going to invite those hospitals who want to work together in a collaboration project to apply, and we will select one grant to receive a $2.5 million award. We will announce that a winner in the spring of next year. So lots of great things, five different grant categories starting at $50,000 all the way to $2.5 million. It's peer-reviewed by a panel of medical oncologists, pediatric oncologists, and they're funded over time to give these doctors, researchers the time and space they need, as well as, quite candidly, allowing technology to help us to address some of these very, very hard questions around the physiology, the biology of these cancers, and increasing treatment options, and indeed with a long-term goal of improving cure.
It's noteworthy that folks, I believe that the Hyundai Hope on Wheels tour is actually going to be visiting the Boston area coming up on Sunday, September 24th. They're going to be visiting the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute at 3 p.m. What now, can folks stop by Dana-Farber? Is this just a peer? What happens during the visit when you're going around to the different hospitals?
Yeah, so the Dana-Farber Boston event is one of the ones I enjoy attending every year.
Excellent.
I'm in Los Angeles, so I don't get to get there as often as I'd like. But it is the Dana-Farber Walk of the Boston Marathon. And so every year, a route. And so every year, they get together and have the big walk. Thousands of people come out, and we are proud to be the presenting sponsor. Hyundai's the presenting sponsor. This year, as a part of that, we will also present the Dana-Farber Cancer Center a grant in the amount of $400,000. That represents two grants, one Hyundai Scholar, one Young Investigator. That brings us to just a little over $11.77 million, almost $12 million funded to Dana-Farber individually since 1998. In addition to that, $400,000. We will probably donate an additional $200,000 to $300,000 as a part of the walk itself. So it will be an exciting time. They tend to get 5,000 or 6,000 people that come out to be a part of it. We are the Hyundai Hope on Wheels vehicle. There's an actual car with the handprints on it. It serves as sort of the grand marshal, if you will, of the parade, or the opening vehicle that follows the route. There are people that run it. There are people that walk it. I've walked it myself. I must confess, I never walked all 26.1 miles, but I did walk the 5K portion of it, and it is just a fantastic event into itself that raises awareness and excitement there in the Boston community. Dana-Farber is just a special center, frankly, in the nation, in the world of pediatric cancer. Because, as you certainly well know, Dr. Sidney Farber was one of the early researchers who innovated a process by which kids could be treated with cancer in a way that was respective of their young physiologies. And so it's just such a special place for us. It's where we began this work 19 years ago with a group of dealers there led by a man named Tom O'Brien, who's since retired but still remains very active, a very good friend, and indeed, as someone we continue to seek his counsel and guidance. But it is a place we got started, and so we look forward to returning there every year as a consistent part of this journey, of this story. Dr. Lisa Diller, who is there of counsel to the center as the chief medical officer there, serves on our foundation committee review board. And so just a lot of good work that's happening in Boston, and we're excited to be a part of that.
I want to thank you for being our guest, Mr. Brooks. If folks want to get more information, whether it's via a website or social media, do you have that information?
I do. We would love to invite people to follow us on social media. Of course, we have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, so you'll see activities that are going on literally every day in the month of September. We'll do 40 grants in 30 days, so we're all across the country. So please join us on social media, like us, share our messages, or feel free just to post stories, and you'll learn more about the families and the children that are going there. If you'd like to get more details about Hyundai Hope on Wheels itself, you can visit our website at HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org, HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org. You can certainly learn more about Hyundai itself at Hyundai.com and learn about us as we, as I said, call ourselves the headquarters of Better, and learn what Better is all about and how Hope on Wheels fits within the idea of the company. In addition to Boston, I should say, in addition to Dana-Farber, there's, of course, the Marshfield Clinic, and there's the Mass General hospitals as well, that between them and within all the work that we've supported in Boston, it's upwards of over $14, $15 million since the program began. So very much that region of the country has been a bastion of research and academic scholarship, and so we're just excited to continue to work with them. So thank you for allowing us to share some time on your show to just help people understand why this is an issue that we all have an interest in understanding and helping and letting families know that they're not alone as they go through this journey, and we will be by their side until one day we achieve our goal, and that is to end childhood cancer.
Mr. Zavar Brooks has been our guest, executive director of Hyundai Hope on Wheels, talking a little bit about the tour, of course, making 36 stops across the country, of course, coming to Boston, the Boston area, next Sunday. Mr. Brooks, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you. Take care of yourself. You're wonderful.
We now transition from Mr. Brooks to a couple of friends. We got an upcoming telethon from our media partners down in the Plymouth area. I can't say Plymouth because they're more than just Plymouth. We're talking about PAC TV, Plymouth Area Community Television. Of course, joining us is Donna Rodriguez. Donna, you wear so many hats. Which hat should I choose today to identify you as?
I am the outreach person at PAC TV.
Excellent.
And I get to work with a lot of nonprofits and a lot of amazing community projects.
So Donna reached out to me, I want to say, a couple of days ago. And I actually saw this information about their Give Hope Telethon as they're looking to do a little hurricane relief. And we're going to talk about that. We also have in studio joining Donna is Dr. Gary Maestas. I hope I said that right, Doctor.
Perfect.
I'll just call you Doctor from now on. He is the superintendent of schools in Plymouth, and this is a community type of a thing, and that's the idea behind, of course, this radio program. We do a lot of community based items. So when Donna reached out to me, I happen to have some time, and if you haven't already noticed a little bit of a theme, talking with Mr. Brooks earlier, talking with Donna and Dr. Maestas. And, of course, at the tail end of this program, we'll talk a little bit about Just Believe 4. A lot of it's geared toward some upcoming fundraisers for some good causes. So if you haven't figured it out by now, that's what we're trying to do here. If I could start with you, Donna, what was the genesis of this event coming up Saturday, September 23rd? That's actually this coming Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. Folks can donate. They can watch on the mighty internet.
From Marshfield to Provincetown, they can watch online, on their channels at home. Everybody across the country and across the world can watch online at PACTV, PACTV.org.
Okay. What was the genesis of putting this together and getting so many community partners to sign on to be a part of this?
Well, to start, we're so incredibly lucky where we live. And you led into that, Kevin, by talking about how how many community groups are coming on your show. We live in an amazing area where people want to give back. They want to help each other. They want to join together as a community. When we first saw, and we were watching and waiting and wondering what was going to happen with Harvey in Texas, and we saw the devastation, us as one small group of people, one small group of staff, were really impacted and affected, and thinking about one of our coworkers and her family who lived there, and thinking about our friends and family, and we just started talking. And we had done a telethon years ago for Plymouth Sister Cities, Shichigahama, and that was in 2011. And over a period of literally less than 48 hours, we talked and we decided we need to do a telethon. And we everybody in our communities, Plymouth, Kingston, Pembroke, Duxbury, and beyond, we're feeling the same way. What can we do? We were watching people in Texas who were neighbors helping neighbors, and people who had a boat and just took their boat out and they became first responders. And, you know, why does it have to be so far away? Why can't we all help each other? And that's literally how it happened. We picked up the phone. We called a couple people. We called the Rotary Club because, of course, I'm a Rotarian. Dr. Maestas is Rotarian. And the Rotary was a key partner in our Sister City Telethon. Absolutely, no question. We looked to see what was happening that weekend. We saw that the Philharmonic was having their opening night concert for the season. We got in touch with Stephen, the music director and conductor.
Harry Dionis, yep.
And Stephen said, absolutely, we're on board. So our entire community in seconds pulled together, and it's just grown from there.
And it's noteworthy to say that PEC TV does kind of specialize in an annual I've had you on prior yes. programs to talk about the Rotarian Telethon,
yes.
which is a fantastic event that happens over a weekend, and we've promoted it a couple of different times. I've actually watched it, and
good for you. I am proud of you.
Thank you so much. Seeing that I live in Duxbury, and our very own a lot of local personalities. Our very own Rob Hackla has
Absolutely.
Done the boards, and I've actually been invited, but I'm kind of a little fearful of doing the boards, because seeing all those individuals, you get Tom O'Brien, the Plymouth County, he's the treasurer. So many people that you have, they do such a great job in trying to get those prices up while you have all these things that are donated. It's interesting.
And that's part of the fun. It is this fun, amazing, crazy event that raises thousands of dollars every year, and over more than 20 years has raised over $1 million for local support, for community organizations, for scholarships, for people in our community. So the Rotary is such an amazing organization, and we have so many. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record throughout this entire conversation.
No problem.
We are so lucky because we have so many individuals, associations, and organizations that exist to help each other. We live in an amazing place. We're very, very blessed.
If I can have Dr. Maestas kind of weigh in, being a Rotarian yourself, give me your thoughts on this effort and being a part of it.
Well, you know, the thing that we really focus on at Rotary is service above self. And when you take a look at opportunities like this, take a look at opportunities where we did the telethon for Shichigahama. A few years ago, we did a fun run in Plymouth for the One Fund, and it was called Run for One. And we generated some support for that. And one of the things that we are really focusing on with Rotary, and we try to focus on within our schools in Plymouth, is how do we look beyond ourselves, and how do we really help people that need support, and be receptive to looking outside and looking at how we can join our forces together to be able to help people when they need support. And this is a perfect opportunity to really foster the mission of the Plymouth Public Schools, foster the mission of Rotary, and also really use the conduit of PAC TV to be able to gather people together and send that message that we as a community, as communities, can really come together to support people when they need a hand. So that's really the premise of us coming together.
Don, do you want to add in on that?
We keep coming back to partnership, and we had the honor of working with the schools as well as the town with the Run for One, and being able to, you know, do what we could to bring it to a further audience. This is neighbor to neighbor. This is community to community. Anybody and everybody we have spoken to, there's been no question. Everybody, down to the individual, is on board. What can we do to raise money? And We're so thankful because there are so many first responders. There are so many amazing national organizations that are in place that are helping people. One of the things we've talked about is what happens next. What happens next for regrowth? What happens next for recovery? We're in working with the Rotary, we are able to ensure that all of the money is going from one local organization to other local organizations, that folks in the areas, in Rotary clubs in Texas and in Florida, are able to assess where the money is needed in their community. They're able to make those choices. They're able to spread it where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. We can't guarantee that we're going to raise as much as national or international organizations. We can absolutely guarantee that everybody in the communities that we're helping are in our hearts.
Now, I know you have plenty of talent who will be able to be in front of the camera, be able to speak on the microphone. You'll have probably folks who are going to be manning the phone banks. Are you looking for anything from the public other than money? Are you looking for any kind of media that they can share that you can use as content?
Absolutely, because another entire half of this, and thank you for asking, is not just to raise money, but to tell the good stories of what people in our communities across our region and across our state are doing. So we're asking for people to reach out to us, tell us what's happening. We've seen so many local groups and individuals and kids and families raising money that we want to be able to tell those stories so people who can see this understand that we are all together and we all want to help. If anybody has stories, if anybody has pictures or images they'd like to share locally or with what's happening in the islands, in Texas, in Florida, and other areas that are affected, they can just email me directly at telethon@pactv.org.
Now, other than images, are you looking for anybody to maybe participate in the telethon with stories? Maybe they got a family member, maybe there's somebody who is down in that impacted area that is up here now, and maybe they can call in, or maybe they can be on camera or something like that.
There are so many ways people can be a part of this, and part of it is to again, to tell the stories of what's happening. We have so much more technology than we did even 5 years ago, so there is so much that we can do. We're going to be in multiple locations in our region going live. We're going to be from our studio live. We have the ability to have people Skype in. We have the ability to have folks locally come in. We also have the ability for folks to call in. We've been reaching out to Rotary clubs, to individuals. There's a gentleman from Manamet who also has a home in Naples. He went down to Naples specifically for the hurricane because his community was mostly elderly folks, and he knew they were going to be challenged by this hurricane. He wanted to go and help. He's been there since. He has been working every day to not only help the seniors in his community, but to work with local educational organizations. We want to tell those stories. We want to be able to get that information out. So people can, again, telethon@pactv.org, or they can call us directly at the studio, 508-830-6999.
Again, we're speaking with Donna Rodriguez, with the PACTV Outreach Coordinator, and we have the Superintendent of Plymouth Schools, Dr. Gary Maestas. Doctor, I got to ask you just real quick. I know that Donna had mentioned it just a few moments ago in regards to the money that is collected is actually going to be distributed by Rotarians down in the area. How important do you feel that is? Is that it's at least being properly handled? Not only is it being collected by Rotarians, but it's also being distributed by Rotarians.
One of the things that we looked at when we did the Shishikahama Telethon a few years ago is that we were really concerned that we were going to raise funds and those funds were going to be transferred to the area of need. In that case, it was Shishikahama. And we really felt it was important to make sure that 100% of the collected dollars were going to go right to where it was needed. So the partnership that we have with Rotary and the Rotary organization in the Houston area, they are going to make sure that the money that is distributed and sent is going to be impacted directly where it's needed, and that is 100%. No administrative fees, no transfer of money, and nobody knows where it's going. And I think that's what people are concerned about a lot of times when they make donations, is where is that money going? And the whole model of us looking at Rotary as a partner to be able to distribute those funds to really make an impact, I think that has really helped people feel that there's a sense of connection, a sense of comfort that 100% of these funds are going to be really put where the Rotary organization really feels it's appropriate. Now, keep in mind, Rotary in all our organizations around the country, around the world. They really have a pulse on what's happening in communities, and they have a really good determination of where Rotary can really support those organizations within the community that could need support. So we're going to work heavily with them and really use their outreach and support locally to be able to help determine where these funds can be spent.
Yeah, we're talking about the Give Hope Telethon happening this Saturday from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can donate and watch. Check it out, www.pactv.org. Or, depending, you could be in the area because this is going to be broadcast from Marshfield to Provincetown. Tune it in, donate. And I know we've kind of focused a little bit on the Rotarians, but there are other community partners that I know that you want to make sure that you recognized, Donna, during this segment.
Oh, my gosh. And already there are so many partners. It's so hard to list all of them. So maybe I'll come back to them time and time again. We've got media partners from Cape Cod Community Media, from Provincetown Community Media, from Marshfield Community Television, right across the street from our studios here at WATD. But also Cape Cod Net is taking it. So literally this telethon is going to be on channels from Marshfield through Provincetown. It's going to be online at PACTV, PACTV.org. We have clearly the Plymouth Rotary Club, our friends at the Philharmonic at approximately, for those of you who are going to be watching, make sure you tune in between 7:30 and 7:35 because we have something special coming from Memorial Hall. Ooh. With the Philharmonic opening, their opening night concert for the season with this telethon and asking people to donate and to give hope to this telethon. We have the Plymouth Public Schools, the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce and Chambers of Commerce in Pembroke, the Kingston Business Association. People who are helping get all this information out include We Print Today in Kingston, Powderhorn Press, the Kingston Collection, Tiny and Sons, our friends locally as well.
And also a sponsor of this radio program.
Well, just so you know, our folks at Tiny and Sons, because when we say 100% of the donations are going to relief, they're helping to offset any costs that are associated with donations through PayPal on our website. So we have sponsors around the state who are helping to ensure that we are meeting our mission to donate 100% of this money.
Now, I know your significant other, Dan, is a technical guru, especially in this area. What's it been like for him getting ready for this? I mean, again, this is kind of like probably the tech week. Right now, it's the onslaught of it. What is it like kind of getting everything in place? Because this is, I mean, it's almost like he is the Stephen Karyadiannis of PAC TV.
It's very true.
Not necessarily of the Philharmonic, the maestro. But what has that been like over the past, since you've announced this?
We have many maestros and many working bees and many smiling faces everywhere we go in leading up to this. So it takes all of us together to make this happen. And the energy level at PAC TV, it's kind of crazy. We're so excited and energized to make this happen. At the same time, we're really respectful of what this project represents. Mm. So yes, there are tons and tons and tons of moving pieces, but it gives all of us the opportunity to do what we all do best, whether it's at PAC TV, whether it's at the Plymouth Public Schools, whether it's with the Chamber of Commerce, with the Philharmonic. We're all doing what we do best, and we're doing it at 175% to make sure that we're doing the right thing to help.
Now, are you looking for anybody to man the phone banks? Are you looking for any volunteers in that area?
Absolutely. And the Rotary Club is handling the finances. They're also handling the phone banks. So we're going to have 8 folks on phone at any given time. We've got a couple of shifts. Again, any questions, call PAC TV at 508-830-6999 or email us telethon@pactv.org. If you want to make a donation, just visit the website, pactv.org. If you want to make a donation, one of the things we're asking is that we've got so many, again, I know I'm very energetic about this, but I'm so passionate about what we're doing. So many organizations have pulled together and are doing challenge fundraisers. So we have like the Kingston Business Association that's been selling t-shirts to raise money, and they're going to be donating it through the telethon. They're reaching out to other business associations, asking them to do the same thing or asking them to find ways to raise money. We want to hear what people are doing. We'd love to see people gather together. There's a wonderful Empowerment Group, that's a networking group out of Plymouth, they're going to be coming in and making donations. Over the next several days, we're going to be making an announcement. In addition to going live from the studio and accepting donations at the studio, we're going to have Maureen, who is our assistant news director for PCN, PAC-TV Community News. She's going to be out in one of the Plymouth area restaurants. We're going to be going live to her for an hour to be able to go back and forth with her, and we're going to ask people to go in and see her and make donations. So if you've got a penny drive going, if you gather your neighbors in your neighborhood together and put together $100, we want to hear from you. We all want this to be a grassroots community effort.
Doctor, I have to ask you, is there a goal that you have in mind, just you as a person, that you'd like to see achieved during this event?
Well, you know, we have a goal of $100,000, and I think that we met that goal with Shishigahama. And, you know, this goal, and, you know, we did the Run for One, we did the Shishigahama piece, and one of the things that is so heartwarming and encouraging is, you know, I had kids coming to me with little bags of pennies, and they were handing it to me. And I had one kid come to me when we did the Run for One, and he had a wagon full of change. He collected change from his friends and just brought it in to me and said, this is my contribution. And the $100,000 goal can be achieved one penny at a time, one small donation at a time. And I know organizations, companies, groups can come together and, you know, match funds and do larger donations. But you know what? This is an opportunity for our students, our kids, our families to feel that they're impacting a community that has been ravaged by a hurricane, or hurricanes in this case. So we are just looking at, you know, motivating people to just reflect, and how does this connect with them? It's a, when, you know, we're not looking for, you know, huge sacrifices from people. We're looking at small donations, one at a time. If companies and organizations can go beyond and make those donations to help us get that $100,000 goal, we're really looking at that. But it really comes down to what's in your heart, what do you feel, and how can you make that impact and let you feel that you are giving some level of support to a very, very bad time for a lot of people in Florida and in Houston.
We've just got a couple of moments left here in this segment with Donna Rodriguez from PAC-TV and Dr. Gary Maestas, Superintendent of Schools in Plymouth. And I'm just going to throw this at you, Doctor.
Sure.
Because I know you can handle it. any thought of putting a friendly challenge out there to any of the area or regional superintendents or any of your educational colleagues to see if maybe they might want to, you know, almost like when the two mayors or governors of communities, when their teams go to the Super Bowl or the World Series, they kind of put up a little bit of a friendly wager or a challenge to donate. Any thought? Have you done that quietly, or do you want to announce that here?
Well, I'll tell you, Kevin, we'll do that right today. You're just an inspiration, I can see. But what I would like to do today, and I think, I'm very connected with superintendents in the area, but I will tell you, if a superintendent would match $100 with my $100, I would match them. And if they were willing to do that, we would go ahead and do that, because I think it's something that is worthy. I think it's an opportunity for me to demonstrate that this does connect with myself and my family. But I do believe that this example can be set for other organizations that have common colleagues. So I invite that opportunity.
Excellent. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give Donna, we're going to wrap up the segment, but I want to thank you very much for reaching out and making this segment possible to at least be able to get the word out about the big event this Saturday. If you want to kind of close this out, anything you want to say in closing?
And thank you again for being a partner, as always, in being able to get the word out about what organizations and individuals are doing in our communities to help. Gary, I think I want to go back to a very important comment you made, that in addition to all these wonderful large donations, every single penny counts. And after we changed the name of our telethon to the Give Hope Telethon, this quote just literally fell into my lap when doing some research. One person can change the world by giving people hope. That quote was made by retired admiral from the U.S. Navy, William McRaven. He is well known for talking about life lessons. He gave this speech that included this quote at the University of Texas in Austin in 2014. We can all make a difference. Let's give hope.
There you go. Donna Rodriguez, PAC TV, and Dr. Gary Maestas with the Plymouth School, Superintendent of Plymouth Schools, my guest for this segment. Folks, again, this Saturday, September 23rd, 5 to 9 p.m., donate, watch PAC TV, www.pactv.org. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get you to believe, just believe four, with George Kippenhan and Julie Huffman Hogan right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. I fondly like to call this the dessert portion of the program. And I got a couple of real sweet people who are here. Actually, I'm glad that we're able to find some room on the program to talk about this upcoming event coming up, I believe, this Saturday. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Sorry. This Saturday coming up, Just Believe. And this is the fourth one in the series. Joining me to talk about it, we have George Kippenhan. He is the co-producer, co-creator. And he's also a guy who is very well known. I'm glad that we were able to have him come in and kind of talk a little bit about
it. Such a busy schedule, Kev. Thanks for having me in on Monday Night Talk.
You're a lovable guy, too.
Oh, thanks, man.
But the one thing that bums me out that we couldn't get Mary here.
And Mary's in bed.
Okay. Just okay. But you know what, though? A guy can dream, can't he?
Mary's the best, isn't she?
She's a star.
She's awesome.
She's a star. And we also have another star, somebody else who's the mother of a star, I believe, Julie Huffman Hogan, area coordinator for Special Olympics, also head coach for the All-Town Tigers and many of the sports that they participate in. Welcome back. I think you were here last year, yeah?
I was. Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate the time.
Now, for folks who don't know, This is an event that's taking place at Massasoit Community College at the Buckley Performing Arts Center, and it's at 7 p.m. I'll throw the number out, and we'll do it a couple of different times during this segment at any time if you want to call or even check the box office. Actually, the online, massasoit.edu/box office, or you can call their number, 508-427-1234, and all these proceeds are going to be going to the All-Town Tigers of the Special Olympics of Massachusetts. Talk to us about the genesis of this particular show.
Well, you know, my daughter found her calling in competitive sports, and it was always trying to find a level of performance where she could do her best at. And we found it in Special Olympics, specifically the All-Town Tigers. And we met Coach Julie there. And Mary just loves it. It loves performing throughout the year in different aspects of sports. This year, she's doing flag football, which is unbelievable to me. So we want to find a way for us to, my family, to, you know, raise some monies for something that was near and dear to us, and that would benefit Mary exclusively, you know, through, rather than do a walk for cerebral palsy or anything like that, which would go to a, you know, a good organization, but this is something she actually enjoyed, really, you know, was a part of. So I remember Julie and I sitting down at a McDonald's and asking, and about 4 years ago, saying, how do you raise money for Special Olympics? She goes, and she told me she does a lot of polar plunges. And I was like, well,
yeah, it's a little cold.
Yeah. And I remember thinking, well, why don't my friends and I get together and put on a show? And
it's much warmer.
It's much warmer. And it's something that, you know, like my friend Steve Shannon, that's what he does for a living.
Who doesn't love Steve Shannon?
And Rashito was all about
Mark
it, too.
Rashito,
so,
yeah.
you know, it was something we put together, and there was so much love in that room the first time we ever did it. And we're like, in all the performance, like, we have to do this every year. And it was something special. And
it was nothing like what I thought it was going to be at the beginning, honestly. When I first talked about it, I was like, oh, yeah, a couple of guys getting together and singing a song. That's going to be really impressive. But I'm telling you, it changes your whole outlook, your whole perspective, everything about it. When you walk out of that room, you're sitting there going, wow, wow. And they're all in it, and there's a wait list. Yeah. Now, to be in it and to be included in it, it's an incredible experience for everyone involved, for the members of the audience, for the athletes that are involved with it. Oh my gosh, that was so much fun when they got on the stage last year and danced. Yeah. It was insane. But the thought of what it was originally in my head is completely, it's phenomenal. And honestly, you go away with your world changed.
No, George is a theater guy, even though he's a mega media guy nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
big time. Well, no, I mean,
You're a great theater guy. You're a guy who does a lot of community theater. You're a guy who. So the first thing I think of is that this is something that is, I mean, like, is it like a mini musical? Kind of give folks who are at home, theater of the mind here, those who purchase a ticket to Just Believe 4, what are they in store for?
You're going to hear the best voices on the South Shore coming together with your favorite songs, and then not all Broadway songs. This year we're doing Copacabana. This year we're doing
Does Barry know?
Barry, I'm a big fan of Lowe, so, you know.
Me too.
Of course.
Me too. Who
isn't? But, you know, but we try to get other aspects. I got with the Cappuccioni School of Performing Arts in Bridgewater.
The best.
And I was like, you know, it would be really funny if we performed Copacabana, but we had kids reenact the scene with Tony, Rico, and Lola. Because it's really just an insane type thing. It's that kind of moment that people are going to be like, what am I watching? But I can't stop watching it. We're doing the Justin Timberlake song from Trolls, the Can't Stop the Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, with the athletes on stage with us. And it's amazing. There are skits in there with Fitzy and Jerry Thornton and Julie's son, Derek, who is the most amazing athlete you'll ever meet. If you ever want to feel like out of shape, or
I do that every day, walk up the stairs.
So Derek comes on stage last night. We do a little bit where I'm like, oh, I came in seventh in the Sexiest Man Alive competition last year, and someone says, oh, who won? Derek comes on stage, and he was supposed to just come on stage with a crown on, you know, like, oh, he was the winner. He takes the crown off, takes off a shirt, has a tank top on, and starts doing push-ups, one-handed push-ups on stage, and the crowd just goes nuts. So he steals the show every year. You're going to get moments like that. We always say you're going to leave laughing, you're going to leave crying, you're going to leave dancing. But there's always those moments where this is why I'm here. This is why for $20 I'm going to get this experience for 2 hours, and you're going to leave with your heart very full.
What does, I mean, the money, again, going to Special Olympics, what are some of the things that Special Olympics is able to do with the money that is raised from events like this?
So something that not a lot of people know is that no athlete pays for anything that they participate in. The athletes, they don't pay for the uniforms, they don't pay for their events, they don't pay to be part of an organization. That is all funded by events like this. So it costs approximately $150 per year to work with these athletes just for the events alone. That doesn't include their uniforms or their transportation to and from. It doesn't include any of that information. So the fact that we have these people who are so willing to do these fundraisers for us, it makes a world of difference for the kids. It provides them with the opportunity to participate in that. And we have approximately 20 kids this year who are playing flag football who wouldn't be able to play flag football without this opportunity. So words are not good enough to express how much it means to them.
George, did you want to weigh in on this?
You know, it's one of those things where every athlete, I don't care, it, you know, special needs or not, every athlete should have the opportunity to be able to excel in sports. And if we can do something like this and take our talented friends and go on stage and put a show on and say, hey, this is what Special Olympics is all about, and get involved and watch the show. And
it's funny to me. Because I'm coaching most of the time, I don't have time to sit and back and actually watch and enjoy what the fruits of the labor, so to speak. But this year I was at a track meet and I watched a gentleman who is usually nonverbal, but he loves being there. He's part of the situation. And I watched him high step down a track 50 yards, just high stepping the whole way, head held high, beaming because he was able to participate in this. And it meant the world to me. It meant the world to his mom. And I'm telling you, that's what this is about. It's about those moments.
And, to go on that, there was a boy about 4 years ago when he joined Special Olympics, and he would walk around with his dolls. He would have his dolls. And he was on the basketball team, and he would do nothing with the basketball. He would just run around. He won 2 gold medals in track and field this year. So,
wow, that's awesome.
When they say Special Olympics, oh, it's Special Olympics. Hey, it's a lot more than that. Like, this boy has taken such steps through athletics.
They blossom.
Yeah, it's something special just to watch. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then you see this kid. I saw him at Greece. I was in Greece at Massasoit. And after the show, I see him at we had track and field the next day, and he's doing Grease Lightning to me. He's doing the Grease Lightning dance to me. So he loves theater and he loves sports. So it's something that opens the theater world and the sports community kind of combining. It's something special.
Again, we're speaking with George Kippenhan, co-producer, co-creator, as well as Julie Huffman Hogan, area coordinator for Special Olympics, also head coach for the All Town Tigers, and we're chatting a little bit this evening about the Just Believe 4, which is coming up this Saturday, September 23rd, 7 o'clock. Tickets are $20. It's a steal, $20. And you can go online right now as you're listening to this program, massasoit.edu/boxoffice, or give them a call. It's an easy number to remember. I walk around and I recite it all day long because it's so easy. 508-427-1234. Say it to yourself. Go ahead. 508-427-1234. And you're going to see such talented people like George and also Nick Fitzy Stevens. We all know Nick from, he's also a radio personality. He's also a guy who is a sports guy who does great videos that we've had them. We've had both George and Fitzy on the program talking sports and talking about the videos. And Jerry Thornton. Who doesn't love Jerry Thornton? He's going to be a part of this. And again, it's not just about the athletes and the parents, but let's be honest, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen at home, it's about community. And as a community, we come together for one and all, not for just a select few. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, 100% correct. I mean, we have, in addition to Nick and Jerry, who are, two of the better comedians in Massachusetts, we have an all-star cast of people. Adam Joy, who was in, who's just in Beauty and the Beast last summer at Bridgewater. Ann Thornton, Jerry's wife, the Irish Rose is in it. Yeah. Caroline Smith, who's just in Rizzo in Greece. Christina Ferreira, CJ Hawes, who's just the lead in Oklahoma down in Hingham, Eli Bigelow, Emily Dennis Leahy, who's unbelievable, Aaron Thomas, Jesse Rowe, Jim Sullivan, John Picaro, Max Ripley, Matt Maggio. I'm just going to go through the names. Anna Anise, who's 12 years old, played Oliver down in Massasoit. Morgan Campbell, who's probably one of the more talented people who I know. Nathan Fogg, Ricky DeSisto, my lovely wife Michelle, Samantha Bria Jones, and the incomparable Steve Shannon. Kev, you know him. He's just
he's the best.
He's the music director of this event and throws his heart and soul into it every year.
Now, what was it like to kind of put this together, to pick songs and put together choreography, or at least be able to put together different segments? What has that been like?
It's we usually ask each performer to put together 4 songs for us, and we choose the song that we think fits best, because we want to have, you know, a ballad, but we don't want to have 20 ballads in the show. We want to have some dance songs, but we don't want 20 dance songs. So it's really a process where we want the crowd to enjoy it much more than us, but we have to have some songs with some meaning. There's always that song that we have a slideshow of all the athletes that we want, you know, this is the final song, this is the moment that we want. This is why you're here. This is why the audience is here. So we always have that. And that this year, that number is going to be True Colors by Cyndi Lauper. Yeah. And it's such a beautiful song. And we have Ricky DeSisto and Morgan Campbell singing that with the slideshow. And it's going to be amazing. It's really something special this year.
Now, like theater, is this the remaining this week? Is it tech week? Is it dress rehearsals? What is it like this week leading up to, you know, this Just Believe?
You know, we have about four group numbers, and then everyone else is talented enough to we've reviewed the songs as well, but we actually have a run through on Saturday, and then Saturday night's the show. Wow. So, but we've had a lot of people people who donate, they'll donate dinner to us on Saturday afternoon. But we've had AP Insurance, my friend Kevin Dyer, donated 25 tickets for all the athletes to attend, seats, $500 for towards the Tigers, just so they can attend. There's something special. That's AP Insurance out of Hanover. They're good people. How's that?
That was a great plug.
Oh, did I plug them?
You should be like in radio. What was that again?
AP Insurance out of Hanover. Kevin Dyer. St. George sent you.
Kevin was sending you a bill. Right. Julie, do you want to weigh in?
You know, for us, every week we get together and we practice. Right now we're practicing flag football, and I get to sit back and watch the true stars of the show, mm-hmm. the kids who are what we're doing it for and how it all came about. And Mary has been playing center, and for the life of me, I cannot get her to understand that the center is not the one who gets to call out the numbers to hike the ball. She's down there. She's calling out the signal. She's going nuts. I'm like, no, Mary, the quarterback does that. No. So you never know what you're going to get, but you're always going to get 100%. That's all they give. Every single moment.
how do you respond to this?
Well, you know what?
How do you respond to this accusation?
I 100% agree with Julie on this one, as I usually do. I defer to the coach on this one.
Okay. Praise. That's all you can give her. You know, she's just 100%.
And she's 100% Mary every time she does it. Yeah. It's the quarterback's Derek, right?
Quarterback's Derek.
And so Mary will, what she does at home, 35, 27, hike, hike. Mary, you're hiking the ball, honey. You don't call it. I'm calling it. All right.
Hey, listen, but you know, there's always been rule changes at any game or any sport. You know, I mean,
trying to pull a mind scramble on the other team. Center's calling hike, coach.
What's that about?
Hey, it definitely could work. Is there a website that folks, or do you have a Facebook page that folks can, beyond the Just Believe program, or maybe you do have something that is centered around Just Believe that is more than just the one show, yeah. but 365 days a year.
There's a Just Believe invite page, which anyway, it's a public group. So just go into your Facebook and type in Just Believe IV. That's Roman numerals for four.
For four, yeah.
Thank you.
He's actually right.
Yeah, I know. I did that math. there is an All-Town Tigers Special Olympics of Massachusetts page, which you can log in and request group information from.
But if you're hoping to donate, which we would yes. love to have you do, any check made out to Special Olympics of Massachusetts with All Town Tigers in the memo line will get to us. So mm-hmm. we would appreciate any of that. Thank you for asking.
And again, just a reminder, this show coming up Saturday, September 23rd, 7 o'clock at the Massasoit, at the Brockton campus, the Buckley Performing Arts Theater. You can get tickets online, massasoit.edu/boxoffice. And the phone number, George?
508-427-1234.
It's that simple. It's that easy. And Massasoit located right off of Route 27. You can't miss it. Plenty of parking. Get there early. Get a good seat. Mm-hmm. You're not going to want to miss it. Before we close out our program here on Monday night, anything you want to say?
There are going to be raffle baskets there, too. We've had a lot of donations for raffle baskets. So that's going to be some great ones, including an autographed copy of Thornton's book, From Darkness to Dynasty, and he'll autograph it for you there. I have my friends from Pat's Propaganda donating shirts. Fitzy's going to be donating some shirts. I know they have about 10 different themed baskets, so it's going to be awesome.
Excellent. Julie, anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to say thank you very much for having us. It's really great that you're able to take the time to promote such a cause. It's wonderful. Thank you for that.
That's what a local community radio station should do, and that's what we try to do here on this radio program.
So. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Thank you. Hey, weren't you in that?
I wasn't. Okay. I was when I was a kid.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to check.
The papers said I was amazing.
You are amazing.
I was only 10. There were no papers.
Okay. Well, that's all the program that we have here on Monday Night Talk until next week at 6:15 p.m. Have yourself a great evening.